Chapter 8. Cale, who had been sitting down, climbed to his feet. It was an automatic movement. Motivating it was an awareness that he was an intruder. He was halfway to the door when he saw that the woman's eyes were watching him. "Colonel," he mumbled, "thank you for the privilege." His voice was a sick sound in his ears, and he stopped in shame. And then he felt a surge of doubt, a disbelief that such an event could be happening to him. He looked at the woman with eyes that momentarily questioned her identity. At that moment, Medlin spoke. "That will be all, Mr. Clark," he said, too loudly. It was the loudness that brought Cale out of his blur of emotional reaction. He was still ashamed of himself, but it was a shame of something that had happened, not of what was happening. He had a sudden picture of himself, tall and well-dressed and not too bad-looking, standing here before a drink-wrecked caricature of a man, and before the woman of Isher. His gaze touched her face in the stat without flinching. He bowed slightly, an instinctive gesture that made him feel even better. He had no doubt now of her identity. At 25, the Empress Inelda was not the world's most beautiful woman, but there was no mistaking her long, distinctive face and green eyes. It was the face of the Isher family of emperors and empresses. Her voice, when she spoke again, was her stat voice, familiar to anyone who had ever listened to her anniversary greetings. So different, though, to have her speaking directly at him. "What is your name, young man?" It was Medlin who answered, quickly, his voice tense but calm. "An acquaintance of mine, Your Majesty." He turned to Cale. "Goodbye, Mr. Clark. I enjoyed our conversation."
"I said, what is your name?"
The woman ignored the interruption. It was spoken so straight at him that Cale shrank, but he gave his name.
"And why are you in Medlin's office?"
Cale caught Medlin's eye. A tense eye it was, striving to attract his attention. A remote part of his brain had admired Medlin's skillful earlier words. His admiration faded. The man was in a panic. Deep inside Cale, a hope started. He said, "I was inquiring about the possibility of obtaining a commission in Your Majesty's armed forces."
"I thought so," said the Empress in a level voice. She paused. She looked thoughtfully from Cale to Medlin, then back to Cale.
Her skin was a smooth, light tan in color. Her head was proudly held. She looked young and alive and gloriously confident. And something of her experience in handling men showed then. Instead of asking Cale the next question, she gave Medlin a way out.
"And may I ask, Colonel, what your answer was?"
The officer was rigid, perspiring. But in spite of that, his voice was calm, and there was even an edge of joviality in it as he said, "I informed him, Your Majesty, that his commission would require about 2 weeks to put through." He laughed appreciatingly. "As you know, there is a certain amount of red tape." Cale felt himself riding a tide that was lifting him higher and higher, because the benefits of this were for him. He felt an unnatural admiration for the Empress. She was so different from what he had expected. It amazed him that she would restrain herself so as not to embarrass one of her officers virtually caught in a misdemeanor. The restraint did not keep the sarcasm out of her voice, however, as she said,
"Yes, Colonel, I know but too well. This whole rigmarole is only too familiar to me."
Passion replaced the sarcasm.
"Somehow or other, the young men who normally buy their way into the army have heard that something is up, and so they remain away in droves. I am beginning to suspect there is a pro-weapon shop conspiracy to put off the few likely prospects who do turn up."
Her eyes flashed with green fires. It was apparent that she was angry and that the restraints were off. She turned to Cale.
"Cale Clark," she said in a ringing voice, "how much were you asked to pay for your commission?"
Cale hesitated. Medlin's eye was a terrible thing to see, it was so dark. His half-turned head seemed unnatural in the way it was twisted. The message in that abnormal eye needed no words. The colonel was regretting everything he had said to the prospective lieutenant of Her Majesty's Imperial Army. The appeal was so great that Cale felt repelled. He had never before experienced the sensation of having a man completely at his mercy. It made him cringe. Abruptly, he didn't want to look. He said,
"Your Majesty, I met Colonel Medlin on the interstate yesterday, and he offered me a commission without any strings attached."
He felt better for the words. He saw that the officer was relaxing and that the woman was smiling with pleasure.
"Well, Colonel," she said, "I'm glad to hear that. And since it answers in a satisfactory fashion what I was going to talk to you about, you have my felicitations. That is all."
The screen clicked into blackness. Colonel Medlin sank slowly back into his chair. Cale walked forward, smiling. The colonel said in a level voice, "It has been a pleasure to meet you, young man. But now I am very busy. I certainly hope I shall be hearing from you in the next 2 weeks with the 5,000. Goodbye." Cale did not move immediately, but the bitterness of the defeat was already upon him. Out of the darkness of his thoughts came the consciousness that to him had come an improbable opportunity, and he had nullified it by being weak. He had believed that an amoral wretch would be grateful for being saved from exposure. He saw that the colonel, looking quite jaunty, was eyeing him with amusement. "The Empress doesn't understand the problem involved in ending a system of paid commissions," Medlin shrugged. "I have nothing to do with it myself. I can no more alter it than I can cut my throat. One man would destroy himself bucking it." He hesitated. A sneer came into his face. "My friend," he said, "I hope this has been a lesson to you in the economics of personal advancement." He finished curtly. "Well, good day." Cale decided against attacking the man physically. This was a military building, and he had no intention of being arrested for assault where he could not properly defend himself. In his mind, he marked the colonel down for further attention at a later date. Darkness was settling over the city of the Ishers when he finally emerged from District 19 headquarters. He looked up at the cold, fixed stars through a mist of ads and felt much more at home than he had the night before. He was beginning to see his way through the maze of existence on this world, and it seemed to him that he had come through very well, considering his ignorance. All around him, the sidewalks began to give off the sunlight they had absorbed during the day. The night waxed brighter as the heavens above grew darker. He became more confident as he walked. He had been right to attack Seal, regardless of risks, and he had been right to hold back on Medlin. Seal was an individual, out in the open as he was, and basically no one cared what happened to him. But the colonel could call on the power of Isher law. He had not intended to return to the Avenue of Luck until morning. But now having, it seemed to him, resolved his inner doubts, he changed his mind. If he could win 5,000 credits and buy a commission, the treasures of Isher would start pouring in his direction. And Lucy Rawl, he mustn't forget Lucy. Even one day was too long to wait.